think that it's in, I haven't seen anything to demonstrate that it's like everybody in the police department, and that it's the city council itself that's discriminating or perpetrating this discrimination. I think it's more of an issue of the city council is sort of like standing back from the police because of, probably because of what happened on September 11th. A lot of police, let us say, police power has been expanded nationwide.
Well, they've been pretty much...
I imagine that the city council in Santa Cruz is a little bit intimidated by that.
Well, unfortunately, it doesn't start on September 11th. They've been intimidated for years, and it's too bad that's the case.
Yeah, but it is too bad that's the case. And, you know, if that is the case, you know, people should make that an issue in the election. And, you know, if they want their police department to be accountable to the people have to elect people that make them accountable.
So far, there's only one candidate I know who's going to do that. That's Steve Argue, but who knows? Maybe some other candidates.
Well, is there an election coming up?
There's an election in November, and candidates will be filing in July, next month.
Wow.
So it's coming. You can, you know, jump on the bandwagon Michael.
I would have to register to vote 2 months in advance of that.
No, actually, I think you actually you can register within 1 month, and I think the registration for, you know, candidates doesn't end till August. So if you want to do it, it's open to you.
No,
I believe.
No.
I would never recommend anyone run for city council. In fact, if people have asked me to run, I've said no thanks.
I have actually been elected to public office before, and I have very little regard for politicians in general.
What public office? Where? What public office were you elected?
Oh, I was elected to the Goleta West Sanitary District, a waste treatment district.
Now we're talking, man. You had to get through a lot of shit to do that. Listen, thank you, Michael. We're gonna roll on you.
Park district, so.
That's good.
So, in any case, though, you know, thanks for inviting me to tell you our story, and you know, hopefully.
How are the rents, by the way?
Make people wake up a little.
How are the rents where you are? What are your rents
my
going?
My rents are my lowest rent is $475 a month for a studio, and my highest rent is $700 for a one bedroom.
And how long have you owned the property?
I've owned the property since 98.
How many times have you raised the rents?
I haven't ever raised the rent.
Wow.
The only way I've ever raised the rent is when somebody moved out.
And you're in the Beach Flats, right?
I'm in the Beach Flats. And in fact, most of my tenants come from other units where, like, there's one down the street in particular where the property owner went and evicted a bunch of people because he claimed he was doing repairs, okay? And they were already paying over $1,000 a month for, like, a one-bedroom or a studio.
Is this the famous, what is it, Raymond Street? I'm not Raymond Street. It's Rodriguez property, or?
Yeah, there's like all these little bungalow type buildings. There's like 40 of them on this one lot there across the street from the kids park.
Yeah, I think that's place.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Now, what about Nueva Vista or so-called Dolphin Lee? Any comments on that whole scene?
I don't even know what that is.
You don't? You haven't been listening to my show, Michael.
What is that?
That's the project that the city has thrown all the affordable housing money for.
What is my opinion of that?
Yes.
Well, I could tell you that... when I bought my property in 98, at that time I was living in Sunnyvale, and I just recently did a stint as a Housing and Human Services Commissioner for the city of Sunnyvale. And because of that, I became aware that the cities have a rehab loan program for, you know, if you keep your housing affordable, you're eligible to get this low interest loan of about 3%. I actually was able to secure a loan like that in my Sunnyvale property, and so when I bought this property in Santa Cruz, my intention was to do the same thing. Basically, I'm an affordable housing advocate. I want to provide, you know, safe and good quality affordable housing. So I bought this property with my intention being to do that with this property, and then I proceeded to apply for a city loan. The city then went and sent inspectors out and told me and did a whole breakdown, and they figured it was going to cost about $350,000 to rehab my property. And then they proceeded to make me wait for 2.5 years until they told me no. And when they told me no, it was because they had given this money to this other project that you're talking about.
Mercy Housing, Dolphin Lake Project.
Now, I subsequently went and talked to the to some of the people that are involved in Mercy Housing, and, you know, I don't have anything against the program per se. I don't really know anything about it, and it seems like the people involved are trying to do a good thing. But the reality of the situation is here I have an existing existing unit that, you know, I am providing affordable and keeping affordable. And basically the city led me along for 2.5 years and then told me no.
It's worse than that. It's the it's further that the city, instead of buying vacant land that they could build on, are destroying affordable housing units that are not the best. You know, the Dolphin and Lee hotels, motels are pretty crummy, but they provided a lot of room for a lot of folks from out of the area and who do the shit work here in Santa Cruz and hereabouts. And now they're going to, they've essentially, they also demolished the Rex Court motel that was, you know, next to...
was this like a low-cost motel?
Yeah, it was Canfield bought it and then ran it down.
So what the question is, that I would have is, was that motel being used as a, you know, a place for drug dealers and prostitutes and that kind of stuff?
You know, I don't know.
I'm just asking. I'm not
right. You know, I don't know the answer to that. I know that it was being used for low-income housing until Canfield just essentially ran it down so he could sell it off to the city. And also, no doubt, I mean, I suspect backroom deals or the rezoning areas that were residential only for now for residential commercial, which are nearby, right next to the property, so that Canfield could potentially expand so that their Third Street realignment could return.
What I'm asking is that why, how they justified doing it?
Oh, they said it was run-down property. They didn't say it was a, you know, a drug menace. They said it was not being kept up. In essence,
it wasn't like a crack house or something, right?
I don't recall the exact specifics on that. I don't recall that was one of the major charges, but
it was,
I mean,
just like blighted.
It no doubt became a crack, you know, it became a place where people used for shelter and used for whatever.
Right.
After it became completely run down and Canfield, looking forward to the opportunity to sell it to the city, allowed that to happen. But the reality of all this is that people who wanted to rehab the Dolphin and Lee and rehab the Rex Court, which would have cost far less.
Right.
So there would have been millions and millions of dollars to buy property and build new housing. Instead, it went to this favored Mercy Housing. I got to go, Michael. These folks in the studio are growing very long beards waiting for me to let them on the air. And they're just dying to get a bite out of me. I can see the foam coming out of their
ear. Do you need me to stay here? You said something about calls or something.
No, you're good.
Done.
If you want to listen in on the air and you hear people call in, you can call back and respond if you think there's some stuff.
Can you give me your net again?
Sure. The address on the internet is www.microradio.net, /FRSC. And the call-in number for all you out there, 427-3772. We've been talking with Michael Boyd.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Robert.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Only a problem for only one reason. The president raises the question, who owns the land? The homeless are a problem for only one reason. A president raises the question, who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be 90 million Indians who owns the land? Could it be 6 million Jews who owns the land? Is there a connection who owns the land? To all imperialism who owns the land? Won't someone please tell me who owns the land? I am just a white man who owns the land.
So you're back again with Free Radio, and I just want to thank my producer for calling in and telling me that levels aren't so good. If you're having some trouble hearing or your eardrums are getting blasted, let me know and we'll try to deal with that. It's kind of hard to tell with the amateur at the controls, and the equipment is a little bit we're going to work at it. In the studio with us, as mentioned before, we have Carl Wilson of the Friends of
Camp Hope.
Thank you.
formerly friends of Camp Paradise. And Del Templeton, who is with Camp Hope. Hi, guys.
Hi.
How you doing?
All right. And I'm doing okay. I hope everybody can hear this and they're not getting blasted out. So, Carl, you gave me a call last night. You wanted to go on the air and talk. I guess you have. You're also a member of the board of the Santa Cruz Service Corps, which will be meeting today at 6 o'clock at 1135 North Brant's Afforde, the house of Thomas Levitt. That's where the Right to Sleep Summit happened, for those who know about that. And it's open to the public, right?
Yes, and Dell's a member of the board, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dell, you're both members of the board, and I hope hopefully nobody is bored at the moment, and it'll be a pretty exciting meeting this afternoon, perhaps, at 6 o'clock. But you're kind of, you've got some thoughts on the issue before we even get there. You want to kick off and let me know?
Well, I wanted to discuss our reasons. We intend to just drop connection with the Santa Cruz Service Corps. And I'd like to use this opportunity to talk about that, because we'd rather not spend a lot of meeting time on and talking about that, because we've got some very important stuff to do in going ahead and helping the homeless and helping Camp Hope. And to spend time in that public meeting, on that board meeting, on that matter, we feel is sort of a waste of time, because we've surveyed the board, and the board is very clear on we want to take this action. But I think public discussion of it is proper. So that's one of the main reasons we're here.
Well, I want to point out that this is sort of in marked contrast to bodies like the City Council, which give the public 3 minutes and then threaten to take them off to jail if they don't leave the mic, or at least expel them from the meeting. And so, in a way, part of it is maybe payback to me saying, we're going to take up your radio show with this discussion rather than our meeting, which, that's fine, I'm glad that we have a public discussion, because I think some of these issues should be discussed publicly. But also, I think it shows that you are committed, that the Santa Cruz Service Corps Board is committed to the kind of public dialogue that, one, you don't see at City Council, two, you haven't seen really at the Santa Cruz Service, well, I guess they have. You've had regular meetings of sort of the friends of the Santa Cruz Service Corps, although it's not clear often if the public is invited. I found sometimes I walk in and I've been actually literally threatened out of the place. That happened on one occasion, and I don't really respond well to threats, but then other times the meeting schedules were turned around. This was not under your board leadership. This was when Larry Templeton and Paul Lee were pretty much calling the shots, or seemed to be calling the shots some months ago. So I'm glad to see there is an open forum here being provided. I know you had a fairly long meeting on Sunday where you ratified the board electoral vote. And it was a kind of an interesting process how the board was elected. You want to mention that? Or?
Well, I think the most interesting thing about it was that this election was set up by Tom Shaver, who was working directly for Paul Lee and USA. And
what is USA?
That's United Service. What is it?
Agency.
United Service Agency. So they set up this. They set up this election. Well, first of all, at that Senate meeting, we passed the bylaws. They set up the election, and they emailed out to us a list of who the nominees were and who the allowed voters were. And then a few days later, we got a message saying election canceled.
Let me say, that was quite a shock. But the Santa Cruz Service Corps, for those who don't know, is a group that was sort of gotten together by supporters of Camp Paradise back in, the fall of last year, after City Council was diddling and dawdling and refusing to find alternate sites, though talked a lot about, oh, well, we should look in the parks, we should look here, we should look there. They look here, the reports that were supposed to be filed by the staff never got filed in. Camp Paradise got washed away in December or late November of last year. Santa Cruz Service Corps kind of set up this whole structure to deal with environmental concerns, to get an office, which the city gave them, rented them, I guess, for a dollar a month or some such thing, and essentially said, we are a nonprofit, we are working with Camp Paradise and other groups, to other homeless groups, who want to work on public property and because there's an incredible shelter need in Santa Cruz. There are 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people out there every night in the city, not the county. County, in my mind, has 6 to 10,000. But the city, 1 to 2,000 every night. And there are only spaces tonight, for example, for 40 people. And that's not in beds. That's on the floor of a number of churches. And all those spaces, of course, are taken up by disabled and elderly people. And that's just how it is. So there's a lot of people out there who are illegal and face $54 sleeping ban tickets, as those who regularly listen to this show know. And Camp Paradise was a group that got together last year and stood up and said, we ain't moving, we ain't leaving, we're here. And they actually took overflow from the ISSP program, the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, that has 40 spaces that we talked about. And they went to court, and they're still fighting a court appeal on whether you can destroy a camp by ticketing, or attempt to do that, penalize people for simply trying to survive. If they have a necessity to sleep, as we all do, can you criminalize that? And the answer in Santa Cruz seems to be, so far at the local level, yes, according to Commissioner Irwin Joseph. But of course, more broadly, the answer is no. And Santa Barbara judges and higher courts have said you can't do that. And Santa Barbara is actually now forced to set up more facilities for homeless people because of those rulings. We're hoping the same is going to be true in Santa Cruz. But the Santa Cruz Service Corps, that's a little bit of the background. It became it was sort of an adjunct to the United Service Agency of Paul Lee, which seemed like a kind of a pocket group that suddenly appeared. It has a very small board, right? It has two other members on the board, Carl, is that right? Herb Schmidt and who's the other person?
Paul
Fotenhauer. That's right. And it seemed like it was kind of created. Paul Lee is an academic and a writer, a person who's done work with concerned with the services for homeless people in the past. He's he was a founder of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless way back in the 80s. Got into trouble in my book when he started holding closed meetings and essentially doing kind of backdoor deals with the city council to help a smaller groups of people but not deal with the broader homeless civil rights issues. And when homeless people came to him, they essentially were sort of sidelined, I found. He would hold secret meetings elsewhere in order to avoid their votes in allegedly public meetings. He had us all arrested back in 1991 on the back 40 for trying to maintain a camp there because there was no place for people to go. And he also was he was part of the group that facilitated the destruction of the Coral Street open air shelter in 1995 along with Rotkin and Kennedy. That was the only really free campground that the city's ever had. It's been smeared as a drug-ridden, violence-prone place, and those things did happen there, but nobody died there until the camp was dispersed, and then people started dying off big time, which is never acknowledged or recognized by the Santa Cruz authorities. Anyway, the whole Santa Cruz Service Corps experiment, which Carl here is talking about, had a lot of direction from Tom Shaver, who previously was employed as a scan facilitator, and then he got picked up by Paul Lee. I think he also had some genuine enthusiasm and idealism about this project. He went first to the Housing Trust, the Community Land Housing Trust, Community Housing Trust, I think it was called, and they didn't really want to pick up the Camp Paradise situation. So Paul Lee sort of agreed to help form a nonprofit out of this, and the Santa Cruz Service Corps was set up with the understanding that it was going to be a group that was, was inclusionary, would not just involve and be a cover group for Camp Paradise, and B, given the bylaws as they were written, it would be democratically run. There would be a board of directors, there would be votes by the board, and so when this board got elected 3 weeks ago, Paul Lee suddenly moved in and said, cancel election, stop. Get out of office, stop. Goodbye, stop. Would that cover it? Does that describe what happened, Carl?
Yeah, well, that's part of it. But it sort of went on and on. I'm going to pick a bone with you, Robert, about Tom Shaver, because you said some things about him in email that I thought were excessive. You intimated that he was following Lee's direction because he's being paid by Paul Lee, and you called him Paul Lee's lackey. Well, first of all, Tom is making a considerable financial sacrifice to do this. He makes pretty good wages as a carpenter, and he's burning up time trying to get this
to help his contribution to the Service Corps is taking a lot more time than he's getting money for. So the certainly pay is not one of his motivations. You might make a claim that he has other motivations, like it's nice to be in control of things and say what gets done, and that's, you know, you can debate that one way or another. But the money issue, that was gratuitous to bring that up, and I wish you wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And calling him the lackey, you know, it's one of the paradoxes or unfortunate things about this is a lot of the confusion went down because Tom Shaver tried to do some good things and Paul Lee overrode him. I mean, Tom set up that election, and okay, we had a division in the camp, and what Paul Lee referred to as the splinter group, namely two-thirds of the camp, rejected the leadership of Larry Templeton.
You're talking about Camp Paradise.
Yeah.
This was before the Santa Cruz Service Corps board elections. By the way, caller, I see you trying to call in. Keep trying. We're going to put you on the air as soon as we get an opportunity.
So anyway, Tom was trying to heal that breach and trying to use the elections to do that, and that may have not been a good way, but that's what he was trying to do. And so he went ahead with the elections and then got countermanded. And I don't want to go into all too much details, but there are at least two other instances where Tom tried to make a positive contribution and he got countermanded later by Paul Lee. So this is not the actions of a lackey. But the effect on the campers of having this being jerked one way or another, being told that they could have this and then have it pulled away and told to have that and have it pulled away. I mean, you can see the Camp Hope people. They don't have anything to do with USA or the Service Corps anymore. They're heading out on their own, doing a great thing, and I really hope we get Dell to describe the idealism and what's on there and their plans and stuff like that. But so there is a lot that could be said about the way the USA people and Paul Lee handled this. Basically, it's democracy versus top-down, you do what I say, and all the stuff that flows from that. But the decision that most of the board members have come to is to drop the name Santa Cruz Service Corps and start supporting homeless people, starting with Camp Hope. And I know, Robert, you have the idea that the kinds of shenanigans that have been pulled by the USA should not be allowed. We shouldn't let those slide by. Is that roughly your feeling on that?
Well, I think it's important that people know what's gone on, because I don't know if the USA and Paul Lee and the really minority Camp Paradise, and I guess I hope people understand what's happened, that Camp Paradise essentially tried internally to say to Larry Templeton, we need more democracy in this camp, and Larry went to Paul Lee in essence and said, I run things or I leave, and Paul Lee said, okay, you run things. And so the majority of Camp Paradise left, became Camp Hope. Then they held these board elections, and Larry Templeton said, I control Santa Cruz Service Corps or I leave. And Paul Lee said, okay, the board elections are illegal, you're out of here. And I'll talk about Tom Shaver in a moment, but my concern about all this is that a lot of people have put a lot of time into the Santa Cruz Service Corps, and not just me, members who work around the office and people, members of Camp Paradise and Camp Hope. I mean people who have trusted that there is an ad, an agenda, a kind of advertising put out for the Santa Cruz Service Corps, which has to do with it's supposed to be democratically run, it's supposed to be inclusive. Those are the two main things I've mentioned. It's supposed to have bylaws and elections that are not going to be simply overturned by a snap of the fingers. And here we can get back into Tom Shaver. Tom did not present the elections as something that, if Paul Lee says no, then I'm going to go with Paul Lee and there'll be no elections. You might as well not waste your time. That was not said to the people who came to those meetings, meeting after meeting and different times to do this stuff, who put energy and time into it. Had Tom Shaver said, you know, this is really up to Fuhrer Lee, then if he had been upfront about that, I would have said, Tom, you're up front, you're okay. But he wasn't up front about it. He didn't do that. He gave the impression that this was, in fact, the real situation. Then when it became clear that Lee said no, he didn't resign from Lee's employ. He didn't say, my main responsibility is to those people that I gave my word to and I put out this information to. No way. He went with Lee. And I'm sorry, to me that is a betrayal of what goes on, and it smacks to me of what he did in SCAN. In SCAN he did a similar thing. He destroyed the, well, he didn't destroy it himself, but he facilitated and helped a small coterie inside SCAN destroy the housing committee, sell out the Dolphin Lee tenants, and essentially destroy any internal democracy in SCAN. And what I see here is bureaucratic, top-down, Stalinistic kind of stuff, where a few people control everything, and another person is running around mouthing democratic rhetoric, and Tom Shaver does this very well and does this constantly, and perhaps he does this because he really believes it. I kind of think he does. But I think it's wrong to cover for his ass on this issue, Carl, and I got to be really candid with you. You might like Tom a lot, and I think he's a nice guy, and I'm glad he came on the show last Sunday. And by the way, Tom, you're welcome to call in today. But as far as I'm concerned, you sold out both these camps. You sold out Camp Hope because Camp Hope was excluded from all this, and they're the majority of the people that are on the board. And you're really selling out to people at Camp Paradise because I don't think it's been quite clear this autocracy deal with Larry at the top is not working. We have a call coming in, and Carl, I want to give you a chance to respond. Dale, a chance. Let's see what the public has to say.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Oh, I'm on the air.
You are?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just looking for Vinny.
Oh, well, try the voicemail, 427-4523.
Okay, thanks so much.
Sure.
Bye.
Well, after all that power and passion, all I get is somebody calling for Vinny. Thank you very much. Carl, you know, I've kind of shot my bolt. You've gotten your feelings on it. Dale, you haven't had a chance to say too much. How do you want to do this? Did you want to...
Dale has just indicated to me that what he wants to talk about is Camp Hope. The Camp Hope people say, no more Larry Templeton, no more Paul Lee, no more USA, no more Santa Cruz Service Corps. They've got good, great plans to go ahead. And that's what we want to discuss at the board meeting tonight. We don't want to go hashing more on this. Robert, you're very passionate, and a lot of other people are very passionate about this, because as I say, it was really pretty raw, and you hear the USA people's explanations of why they think they can do this. And
you actually were at a kind of a diplomacy subcommittee meeting on Wednesday about this whole issue, right?
Yes, and the USA presented a position as to why they thought that they should be able to control the Santa Cruz Service Corps, even though articles of incorporation had been filed. And it gets a little technical, all that, but roughly, it's embarrassing what their arguments. They're just, it's just what power will say. If they've got the power, then they don't really care how much water their arguments hold. If they just put out some words, why they'll cover it with
but,
that.
I mean, it's also got, it was even rawer than that, because on the evening last Sunday night, a week ago, when the Santa Cruz Service Corps board met for the first time after the elections, they were meeting under the shadow that Tom Shaver, mind you, had passed on the word from Paul Lee that the headquarters would be closed down at 7 o'clock to all non-Camp Paradise people. And the Camp Paradise people had, in essence, boycotted the election, except for, actually, two people hadn't. They were interested in seeing some more democracy. I hope they can survive at Camp Paradise, but I suspect they may not be able to. I don't know what's going on out there with them. But so the entire board was sitting there meeting under the threat of being locked out, and one of the options the board has is to say, well, let's forget this Santa Cruz Service Corps and I'll go do something else, because you know it's tainted by the fact that you know it's got you know Paul Lee's financial purse strings, it's got this back and forth on the election results, which you know the election results they weren't contested. It was just that Paul Lee said, it's my organization, I don't have to hold elections, I've decided after holding them that I won't hold them. It's sort of like, it's mine, I can do what I want. And so I understand the natural impulse of Camp Hope people is to say, hey, let's get the hell out of here and work with some people we can work with, and also avoid, you know, the financial purse strings and the political kind of backroom stuff that comes from accepting money from folks who really want to have control of the organization. And I, you know, I'm quite sympathy with that. You know, there's no question about that. I'm just, you know, my thought was that a lot of people worked hard on this organization, the Santa Cruz Service Corps, even though, you know, Lee claims to control it and so forth and so on. But the fact of the matter is, what the Santa Cruz Service Corps really is a group of people who have worked hard on it, and they've set up their own rules, they've passed their own elections, and I think that, you know, that this is a significant, well, it was a significant wedge, at least to say that, that the Service Corps headquarters that is currently, you know, being used by both Camp Paradise and Camp Hope, and was before then as well, should continue to be accessible to both. I mean, after all, it was gotten from the city under the pretense that it would be in an inclusionary, used in an inclusionary way, not simply subject to the whims of one or two or three people. And therefore, there was some, you know, there was some discussion, you know, Camp Hope folks didn't want to cause trouble. They're just trying to set up camp somewhere, set up some businesses somewhere, get out of homelessness, maybe help some other folks along the way. They don't want to get into a huge political fight. I understand that. But the unfortunate reality is it is a huge political fight. It's always been a huge political fight. And unfortunately, in this situation, a lot of the community goodwill has been invested in this whole organization. And that is my concern about the situation. So because you all stood together last Sunday, Tom Shaver said, okay, well, you guys, you know, I'll take a proposal. You can use the place on alternate days. 2 days later, we got an email from Paul Lee that said, no, that's wrong. Everybody out by 7 o'clock Thursday. Well, you guys amassed power again, and you stepped forward as a group representing the Santa Cruz Service Corps and said, wait a minute, we'll talk about what's going on, and if you really mess with us, we may have to go to the media and really expose this in a more, you know, in a more messy way that we all would like to avoid. It's not blackmail, it's just a matter of we'd like to avoid this, internecine fighting. And they said, okay, well then we'll let you share the mornings, the Paradise will have it in the afternoon, the Camp Hope people will have it. So because you exercise the power of this group, you got meaningful and reasonable responses. And the reality is power responds to nothing without a demand. It only, to some extent, pays attention to counterpower. And that is why I think it's worth at least considering what to do with the Santa Cruz Service Corps before discarding it. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
go ahead. Del Templeton.
On Camp Hope's point of view, I would have to say we're kind of looking at this more as Napoleon, Hitler, Saddam. Those people there, everybody knows the results, how that turns out. And the media, they'll take care of all our needs, the legal system, they'll take care of all that without us having to do a battle. There's no reason for us to fight. They've already taken everything away that they can take. They're more than welcome to it as far as we're concerned. They can have it. We're in more motion of doing like the Felton Project, where we can not only help the chosen few homeless, we can help the majority of homeless in Santa Cruz, and maybe we can put together a little thing to where there's no longer any homeless in Santa Cruz. If they're willing to work, there's a lot of talent out there in homeless people. We see those talents, and that's our goal. That's what we want to work upon. So that's pretty much all Camp Hope's opinion on the whole matter. And as far as being on the board, I personally want no part of Santa Cruz Service Corps. I want no part of Paul Lee. He falls right into the first bracket that I mentioned of Hitler and those guys. Let them have it. If there's
the Felton Project, you want to. Is now appropriate time to talk about that, or is that sort of still in the formation stages?
It's still in the formation stages. We're trying to take care of a business opportunity to where we can not only employ a few homeless people, but actually quite a few homeless people, and it will turn out to be more than one business situation. We're doing a lot of things that we're putting together that's going to take some financial backing. It would also help if the city would come together and actually help us a little bit too, but whatever turns out, we're going to stand through it all, and we're going to be Camp Hope.
I want to point out that Camp Paradise was also invited to this radio show, and Larry, Paul, Tom, if you're out there, you're welcome to call in or come in. I think at least two of you know where the studio is, the secret studio. You can make your way here. You're welcome to be, you know, to get a response, chance to respond to any of this if you'd like to. I think there is fundamentally a different philosophy of governance here, and I think that there is a power problem, and I think that, that's my kind of take on the situation. And of course, the Santa Cruz Service Corps is open to the public, so these three gentlemen are invited to come out at 6 o'clock today. Are they not, you two board members?
I wouldn't say we're invited, but we won't turn anybody away.
So they're not too happy with you, but I will personally try to defend you if Carl gets crazed and starts throwing rutabagas at you or something. But you may get, you may be the, you know, I mean, there is a lot of, I think, hostility to the kind of, well, autocratic behavior that's gone down. There's also concerns about financial mismanagement, but we aren't going to get into that at this point, at least I'm not. Although, I think it's important to understand, a lot of people have, I think, a lot of us have covered to some extent for Camp Paradise over the months, thinking that some kind of structure is better than no kind of structure. And the reality has finally come out into the open, which is that there's nobody left to cover for, or very few, at Camp Paradise. How many people are now in Camp Paradise?
Well, that's debatable. Dale, you think there's...
Four or five.
Four or five. One of the things is that some people have come in once... the majority, the two-thirds left, why, then there was a lot of empty space, and they started pulling in some people who hadn't been there for before. So it's a little hard to say, but because there were only about three or four that were from the previous group.
And I have said that I support 1, 2, 5, 20, 30, many encampments in Santa Cruz. I think that's necessary. And I think the more, the better. Encampments are good for the safety of people. Encampments are necessary to let authorities know that you need more services. It's just as simple as that. That you need fundamental changes in these laws that just pretend homeless people do not exist. So I've been sympathetic to the idea of Camp Paradise and Camp Hope sharing the Santa Cruz Service Corps, but obviously it's a function of whether both sides want to do it. Paradise thinks it can just monopolize things. Camp Hope finds the whole thing so, you know, onerous, tiresome, and distasteful, and I can understand this, that they want to, you know, set up their own project, and that probably, if my political wits do not deceive me, is what's going to happen tonight after the 6 o'clock meeting at 1135 North Branch of 40, the house of Thomas Levitt, where the Santa Cruz Service Corps Board meets, for those who are interested, and it's open to the public if you want to come. So that's going to be what's happening. Also, Camp Hope needs help, and it's been out there on the mall. Doesn't have Paulie's checkbook behind it, doesn't have a sweetheart deal with the city. All it has is the support of people who want to come and assist it. And if folks are interested in supporting Camp Hope, you might find Bobby Woodside out there right across from, I guess it's what used to be the Cat and Canary at Cathcart and Pacific. He's often there trying to get some funding, trying to get some people involved. Phone number to call. If you want to get more information, Bobby's phone number is 438-5848. 438-5848, that's his home number. He has a work number, 475-8564. 475-8564. And if any of these numbers, by the way, go past you too fast, just remember one number, 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F, 423-4833. I've got a long message which has most of those numbers on it. If you want the other side of this controversy, Camp Paradise, it can be reached through the Armadillo Cyclery, and that number is 426-7299. As I said before, Larry was invited on the show. I think Tom knows about it because he's been included in the emails, and Paulie was asked to be removed from the email lists. Doesn't like what's being said about him. And I can appreciate that. Phone number for the Armadillo Cyclery and Camp Paradise contact is 426-7299. If you lose your way trying to get to Thomas Levitt's house, you can call him at 425-3646. But right now your head is probably swimming in so many numbers you don't know what to do. The Santa Cruz Service Corps still has a number, and again, if you Camp Paradise people are there in the mornings on weekdays, at least for the next week, from 8 to 12, and the afternoon from, I think, 1 to 5 is when the Camp Hope folks are there. Is that correct, Carl?
That's right.
That'll be happening at least Monday through Friday of the next week. unless Camp Hope decides it's going to evacuate early, or unless they both decide they want to extend this arrangement, which I guess is a possibility too, although it may not be too likely at this point. Camp Hope, I think, it sounds like if Carl and Dell are representative, and they seem to be, there's going to be a whole new deal coming down the road. That number is 423-8636, the next number, actual number of the Santa Cruz Service Corps offices. You can leave a message there for Camp Hope or Camp Paradise, but if you want to be sure the message is getting through, you might want to leave it there and in the other two places I mentioned. The Armadillo Cyclery for Camp Paradise and Bobby Woodside's house for Camp Hope.
Robert.
Yes.
I'll make a few more points.
Oh, no. Here comes Carl. Go ahead, Carl.
Okay. First of all, another reason for Camp Hope stepping aside and leaving the fray, there was a fair amount of opinion that the Camp Paradise people camped out there on the church property should have a chance to make a go of it as best they could under their arrangements. After all, homeless people are sleeping there. Stan, the pastor there, has, I believe he is... misevaluated the situation, but he has provided a place for people, and we didn't want to spoil whatever they can make of it. There are some people maybe that living under autocracy is the way for them.
Also, Larry has been getting, and Camp Hart has been getting a lot of unfair criticism from NIMBY neighbors, as evidenced by the Santa Cruz Sentinel's Sunday story of a week or two ago, I think.
Yeah. Now, here's some ways, you can look at it in different ways, and here's one way I look at it, is that we went through a stage where Larry Templin was leading, and it was really just sort of very much a power trip. And then Paul Lee came along, and that was Camp Paradise. And then Paul Lee came along, and we had the Santa Cruz Service Corps, and that was very much controlled by the money. And now there's people who've moved on beyond the power trip and the money trip, and from the love trip, something like that.
We'll take over the camp now. You mentioned it's the love trip, provided the love objects are suitable.
That's not quite, but it's a different basis, and it's an evolution. We wouldn't have gotten where we were if Larry hadn't been doing his Camp Paradise thing. The thing would have gone down the tubes without Paul Lee's checkbook. Now it's goodbye to those things and onward to our glorious future.
Hey, man, it's the love bug, man. If you want to check out some of this love bug, and pass it around, it's 6 o'clock tonight at 1135 North Branch, a four-day Thomas Levitt's house, the meeting of the Santa Cruz Service Corps Board of Directors, and I guess potentially a Camp Hope, a new organization for Camp Hope, if that is in fact, if everyone ignores my fine arguments, which it looks like, unfortunately, people are doing. Can you imagine?
There is another thing I'd like to mention about Camp Hope that it makes it appropriate to leave behind the Santa Cruz Service Corps name. As Robert has indicated, I'll just sort of briefly in passing, the Santa Cruz Service Corps is really designed to work with the city and clean up properties and do things like that. The Camp Hope people are very much more entrepreneurial oriented, very much more business oriented. They're not asking the city, can we clean this up for you in order to stay there? They're saying, you know, how can we bring in money? How can we, there's a lot of skills among these people, and these people work. And I'll tell you, I'm blown away about how hard these people work. I have to say that for Larry is true, too. But the Camp Hope people, these are hard-working people. And they've got ideas about how they can bring in money. So that's the direction they're taking. It's a different take than... it's sort of not only, take away your... your Paul Lee and Santa Cruz Service Corps, but also, in a sense, take away your city money, your city granting this, city granting that. You know, if they come through with something, okay, but not depending on that. This is very much an empowerment trip. It's empowering the homeless. And
It's, you know, it's all the idealism of Camp Paradise without the bullshit. And I've been involved with this, with these people for quite some time. It's a changing group of people, well involved. And for a long time I felt really rather uncomfortable. But now I'm comfortable supporting these people, saying, yeah. And you know, things can go wrong, but this looks like just really a good show to me. I'm really proud of these people, and I'm really positive about what can be done. The idealism is there, and the bullshit is gone.
That's Carl Wilson. And I guess a question I would have is, one of the motivations behind Camp Paradise was that they were kind of insisting that the city acknowledge the realities of the camping ban, sleeping ban problems. That, I mean, their camp was a direct answer to that. And since December, in spite of my urgings to Larry and Camp Paradise, they've watched their numbers dwindle as they've kind of run to the parks, tried to tried to camp there, run a safe place to sleep, and then first from motels, then to the parks, then I guess in the Santa Cruz Service Corps headquarters itself for a while, then out to the church where you have very limited space, only to, I guess, 12, a camp of 12 is allowed out there at Mount Calvary. If you're talking about a business entrepreneurial organization for the homeless, have you essentially abandoned the idea of any kind of assault on the sleeping and camping bans through setting up an encampment like Dignity Village and holding it? It sounds like you probably have, right?
Yeah, I would say to a degree we have, and we'd rather not talk about sleeping arrangements. We'd like to have a lot of attention focused on that. If focus comes up, because, you know, no matter what you do, if you're homeless, you're illegal in this county. And so we just rather not...
Until we change that. That's the purpose of our radio show and a lot of our movement. So see, that's one of the maybe differences that I have with you at this point. Mm-hmm. And I understand you're trying to help a group of people proceed. I'd like to see the whole community address this issue, and I think you're also on that side too.
Yeah, that's I recognize Robert's somewhat different approach. I commend Robert for his very broad-minded civil rights approach. I've got to say that Camp Hope does have a narrowness and a limitation. If you're not a worker, it's not the place for you. And there are people out there who just want to sit back and have various disabilities, these are hard-working people. And they're going to be making it on that basis. I think the total effect on the homeless community can be very positive.